Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply.
Hello, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 286. Going to go out to my co-host's favorite promotion, Bellator, who always put on top-notch events, and they're always publicized properly, and they don't have squash matches on it, and it's not Mickey Mouse at all. And we're going to cover it today. So this goes out to you, Bellator. I am one of your hosts that's going to help break down Bellator. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox. Thanks for coming to the show. Haven't said it for a while, but if you haven't already, make sure you like, rate, subscribe, review, all that stuff. If you're on Spotify, give us 5 stars. If you're elsewhere, make sure you give us ratings, reviews, all that stuff. And make sure you listen to us on our dedicated feed, which is the MMA Gambling Podcast feed. That way our numbers can go up and we can get more people underneath the tent that we have here. So because we want them to hear our quality Bellator breakdowns, which is going to be happening right now. Right here, after I bring in the man known as the Bellator guru of the show, Daniel Gumby. Hello.
You know, you're crapping on Bellator, and first of all, I just want to go out of my way to say I really do appreciate that. but here's the thing. They have a decent enough card this weekend. Yep. But I'm going to complain for a moment, and then we'll just get to talking about it. Here's the thing I don't understand about Bellator. Is they've got fighters who we've heard of and we know of and who are good at fighting. And yep,
that helps.
And they'll have opponents fall off and like a perfectly good fighter ready to fight them on that same card. And they'll not make that fight. And instead we'll fill it with something else. So like Neiman Gracie was supposed to fight Michael Lombardo, I think he was still going to beat Michael Lombardo, but it's at least an interesting enough fight. Michael Lombardo dropped off, and Lorenz Larkin is on the card. Neiman Gracie could fight Lorenz Larkin, and instead, they're going to give Lorenz Larkin this, like, barely-known Russian guy who, hey, maybe we'll beat him at the end of the day, and Neiman Gracie is going to fight, like, a 9-4 dude who I've never heard of instead. So you're going to get like 2 fights that you don't care about instead of 1 you do and 1 you don't. And that's the shit that I just, man, sometimes they make weird choices. That and I got to say, another super weird choice. Both of those guys, Lorenz Larkin and Neiman Gracie, who I both think of as like, you know, decent enough fighters, are going to be on the prelims. Whereas Sabah Homasi and Brendan Ward are going to be on the main card. And Brendan Ward is like, first of all, he's fought twice, he fought twice in the last year, but had been gone for 5 years, and he fought like schmucks in his return. Like he fought Brandon Bell, who was 10-10 at the time of the fight. He fought Cassius Kane, who was like barely over 500. Like, I don't understand how that's the third to the top fight on this card. It just seems like a weird ass move.
Because Bellator is going to Bellator, Dan.
They Bellator so much.
Yes. All they do is Bellator. All they do. Hopefully they're not listening to this podcast.
Maybe we won't tag him.
Maybe we won't tag him here. And this is on CBS as well, Dan. This is on the big TV. So
make sure you highlight that Sabah Homasi fight.
Yep. No. Yeah. They do interesting orders of fights. They do. Yeah. A person can be. They'll have like a person fight for the title. And then they'll be like on the prelims and like one of the opening fights the next time they fight. It's very strange.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not like throwing shade at Sabah Homasi because he's like, he's a fine enough fighter, but this is a guy who like went 0-3 in the UFC with 3 straight knockout losses and like didn't make the Ultimate Fighter. Like he got knocked out in the fight to get in the house for the Ultimate Fighter. Like he's just not like he's not the best Bellator has.
Yep, it is true. All right, I'm going to tell you about one of the best out there, the best out there, WynnBET, and then we will give you some picks for Bellator after we've crapped all over it. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays. Plus, the NFL playoffs are here if you have not heard yet. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100. Limited to state availability. And, of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. If you're betting on Bellator, you may have a gambling problem. All right, let's move on. Hopefully people are betting on it because we're going to break it down. Bellator 290, Bader versus Emelianenko 2. This can't be the same Emelianenko I used to watch, can it?
He's definitely not the same anymore. But
no. So, all right. Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern is the start time for the prelims, which are on YouTube. And then the main card is in the States is on CBS, which starts at 9 p.m. according to their poster. But, you know, this is Bellator after all. It's going down in the Kia Forum in Inglewood, California. 14 fights in a cage. And what are we going to start with? We're going to start with a male fight. and it is on the prelims. And it is a heavyweight banger of a fight. Steve Mowry versus Ali Izayev. And I'm going to tell you about, who am I going to tell you about first, Dan? I'm going to tell you about Mowry first. He is 10-0 with one no contest, 4 knockouts, 6 submissions, so he finishes everyone. 6-0 with one no contest in Bellator. His last fight was a no contest due to an eye poke. Was he the poker or the pokey?
Pokey, if I remember right.
Okay. He's also a pro grappler. He's 9 years younger than Izayev, 5 inches taller, but only 1 inch of reach advantage on him, plus 127. Izayev, 9-0 with 4 knockouts. This is his Bellator debut. He went 5-0 in PFL and was their champion in 2019. Yeah.
I think it was the first PFL.
Right. And he's not fought again since December 2019. He's been out of action for over 2 years now. His last 2 fights ended with him TKO and his opponent. He also is a wrestling champion, minus 157.
So I think that layoff was largely like inability to get into the States, you know, between pandemic and all kinds of other stuff that might be happening with Russia. And so he was scheduled to fight a whole bunch of people in those different PFL seasons, and he wound up falling out of them. So he was scheduled for both 2021 and 2022. And like you can see in his Tapology page, like supposed to fight Henan Ferreira and Clinton Abreu and Jamel Jones, and just none of those fights happened. So I think eventually PFL gave up on him and let him head off somewhere else. And he actually landed in a good spot here. You know, like there's a relative opening in PFL or in Bellator's heavyweight division where there's not a lot going on there in terms of, you know, depth. They've got some people, but not too many. And right away, they give him maybe their hottest prospect in Steve Mowry. As you mentioned, Mowry really good at jiu-jitsu. He's very tall, which is an advantage he's got over a lot of people. But as you mentioned, he doesn't have much of a reach advantage here. And the other disappointing thing, I think, in this fight for him, because I want to like Mowry, I want him to succeed so bad, but like Izayev is a really good wrestler. Like he comes from a freestyle wrestling background, and we saw him put it on Jared Rochalt. Now, granted, again, that's like 3.5-4 years ago at this point. Like he's maybe not the same guy anymore. He's pushing 40, but I still think it's like enough for him to be able to handle what Mowry's going to give him on the ground. And then on the feet, again, I like Mowry. He can be violent. Sometimes he throws those knees, and that's not bad either. But again, just like a lot of power from Izayev, or at least the last time we saw him. And he's like I don't know if I want to call him a chunky guy. He's kind of a chunky guy. He's surprisingly nimble. He like moves really quick. He knocked out Dennis Galtz off. You know, I've seen him hit a spinning wheel kick for a KO, which is crazy out of a dude who looks like him. You know, he ground and pounded Jared Rochalt, which is like, you know, I know Jared Rochal, maybe not the most decorated of guys, but he was a good wrestler. So ultimately, I think we just got to go chalk here, and I'll take Isaiah.
All right. Isaiah is the pick. I was thinking you were going dog here, but no, we're going.
I really did think about it, but like, yeah. I just think, you know, like I want to like Mowry because his game is so fun in that he's like both really tall. Like I love people who are like either way too tall for their weight class or way too short for their weight class. Like he fits that bill. And in addition to that, like who doesn't love a big heavyweight who's damn good at jujitsu? I just don't know that he's going to be in any position to use any of that.
Okie dokie. There you go. A good breakdown from Gumby. We're moving up the prelims, but down a weight class. Grant Neal versus Carl Abrekson, and this is at light heavyweight. Abrekson, King Abrekson, 13-4, 6 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 2-2 in Bellator. However, he's gone 4-1 over his last 5 fights. However, again, he did lose his last fight via submission. 2012, he's been a pro MMA fighter since. He's got 2 inches reach on Neal, and he's 3 inches taller than him, plus 126. Grant the Truth, Neal, is 7-1 with 1 knockout, 3 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 6-1 in Bellator. He did win his last fight. He's 2 years younger than Abrekson, minus 156.
You have negative 156 for Grant Neal?
Oh, here we go. We're going to check the odds. I was expecting this, Dan. I should have updated this.
Yeah, you should have updated, homie.
All right, let's update the odds. All right, for the first fight, what did I give you?
You gave me 157. I still see it at 157 for Isaiah.
Isaiah, yeah. I'm going to give it to you at minus 150. How about even better, Dan? Okay.
Are you again? Oh, for Isaiah, you mean?
Yes, Isaiah. Yes. I'll give you that. Okay. For
okay,
the
we'll
next fight,
no negative 150.
Next fight, I will give you. Oh, it has switched, hasn't it? Neal. Plus 105.
Yeah, so this is why I was mad that you were quoting me at that big negative number.
And Abrekson, minus 125. It has flipped since I did this breakdown yesterday, so it's flipped very quickly. Go ahead. Yeah, I'll update the rest of the odds while you talk.
And I mentioned to you guys on a previous episode sort of the reason that happens. There's a couple of books that post the odds early with really low maximum bets, and this is one of those instances where that book was there to find out where the money was coming in on. And it actually came in on Albertson. And you might guess based on the fact that I made Jeff go back and check those odds, I'm on Grant Neal. I think the odds were right where they were to start. And now that they flip-flopped and you can get Grant Neal at dog price, I think you should pull the trigger right away. Cause I don't know that it will stay there. Because if you look at their most recent fights, it's kind of crazy stylistically that they would think that Grant Neal couldn't win this fight or shouldn't win this fight. Like, go back and look at his fights. He fought Tyree Fortune, who is a damn good wrestler, right? Like, Tyree Fortune can mix it up on the ground, and he absolutely dominated him. He took him down, and he submitted him. He fought Christian Edwards, who, granted, a little bit less of a good wrestler, but, like, a fun striker, took him down a bunch of times. His only loss is a split decision to Alex Polizzi, and Alex Polizzi, exceptional grappler. He pulled off a... I think it was a half guard heel hook in LFA for their title one time. Like, Polizzi is legit. So, like, I think Grant Neal is a pretty damn good wrestler, and he's wicked good when it's on the ground. And then you look at Albertson, he's coming off of being choked out by Carl Moore. So, like, first of all, that's got to worry you a lot. And if you go back and look at to some of the other people he's lost to, there are people who can wrestle, right? Like, he lost to Phil Davis, who took him down and ground and pounded him from back mount. He lost to Valentin Moldanovsky, who, again, just used his grappling. He also got knocked out by Yuri Prochazka, but that's a very different animal. But, like, most of his losses are getting outworked by good grapplers. So, yeah, like, of course, I think Grant Neal could do exactly that. And the fact that he's posting as an underdog right now, man, dude, I think that that's just a wonderful bonus.
A wonderful bonus. And you're... the mass hole inside you slipped out there and you said wicked in your breakdown,
you know,
which is good.
It can come out once in a while.
It does sneak out once in a while. All right.
It's a wicked good Bellator card.
It is. I'm pretty sure I heard, why am I blanking on his name? John Anik said wicked the other day too.
He's
a mass hole too.
He slips into it once in a while.
All right. We're going to slip into another prelim fight. How's that for a transition? We're going to women's flyweight Diana Avsaragova versus Alejandra Lara, the woman who likes to write protest things all over her bodies at weigh-ins, right?
Was it her that did that? Oh, yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
The rainforest stuff. And,
but yeah.
Good cause.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the one at PFL who wrote, the one at PFL? Or no, it was Invicta that wrote F Disney on
her. Really?
Yeah. She also put she just put duct tape over her nipples and weighed in without a shirt on and then wrote F Disney on her chest.
Fantastic. That's the sport. That's the sport we're into here. All right, we're going to talk about Lara first. Azul is the nickname. I'm not sure I looked that up.
Azul means blue in Spanish.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. She is 9-6, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. She's been submitted one time, the only time she's been stopped. Hopefully she did not turn blue with that submission. Ha ha ha. 3-5 in Bellator. She's lost 3 straight fights. She's not won a fight since December of 2019. She has missed weight in the past. She used to fight up, or at least for one fight, she fought up at bantamweight. 2011, she's been a pro MMA fighter since. She's got inch of height, 4 inches of reach on Afsarogova, plus 100. So even money for Afsarogova. Pantera, another fan of the Texas speed metal band Pantera, or thrash metal band.
You think that's it?
I totally think that's it.
It actually might be it for her, because a lot of the other Panteras we know are of, Hispanic descent, or, yep, you know, like Mexican fighters, like, you know, obviously Yair Rodriguez is the one that comes to mind.
Yep.
Or what is it? Jocelyn Edwards is La Pantera too.
Yep.
And like, then it makes sense to use Spanish, but she's Russian. So maybe she is into the band.
Metal is big all over the world. So you never do know. All right. She's 5-0, regardless of where the nickname came from. With 1 knockout, 1 submission, 3-0 in Bellator. Used to fight up at bantamweight as well. 4 years younger than Lara, minus 125. Over to you.
What did you say was the number for Lara? Just because I'm keeping my own
minus record. Minus 125 and plus 100. Plus 100 for Lara. I just updated and got you the best number I could find.
I like that. So I'm going to take Lara here, believe it or not. A lot of people have been all over Afsarogova since she was... You know, she's like kind of this like fun prospect that Bellator seems to be bringing up the way that they want to. Like, if you look at her record, so she's pretty much only fought for Bellator for the last couple of years. And she got a 1-2 fighter out of the gate. She got a 2-2 fighter who she only beat by split decision the next time. And then she got Kyra Batara, and like Kyra Batara is like, she's not terrible. But her record's quite padded in its own right, and she's mostly just like a grappler. Like, she's not much of a MMA fighter. So like, even though her record, you know, she does have 10 or 11 fights or something like that. So I think that Bellator is bringing her up slow, and Lara, I mean, is a logical next slow step, right? She's 9-6, but I think she's just kind of like stepped into something a little bit too difficult. Like, Lara, despite the fact that she's lost 3 in a row, if you look at the type of people she's lost to those 3 in a row, there are people who I feel like can like muscle her around and body her. And really, like, all of her losses are like, she lost to Lima Lay McFarlane. She's lost to Juliana Vazquez, you know, like 2 champions there. Kana Watanabe, like, she lost to by split decision. Again, very physical fighter. Deanna Bennett, who is extremely physical. And then Yara Joanne, who, you know, like, I think is just like, maybe less can body her and more just like is a crafty like pit bull fighter. But at the end of the day, like, I think she just keeps running into people who can body her up. I don't know that that's true here of Afsarogova. I think Afsarogova is just like primed for a prospect loss here, because while she can like, she can put decent combinations together, she's like a fun enough kickboxer. I think if you just like crowd her and put her against the cage and kind of like make her work that way, and are proficient enough in what you're doing in the clinch, I think she's going to have trouble. And we've never really seen anybody give her trouble with that, because she's never really fought anybody. And I think Lara is finally the one to do that. So I'm going to go dog again here, slight dog here. I'm going to go with Lara.
All right. Make sure you get in on these as soon as you can, because these are flippy, floppy lines. And they're
I actually will say this about this one. You might want to wait on Lara, because people love this Afsarogova chick. Like, they think she's like the next big thing.
You apparently don't, the way you're.
I didn't mean that derogatorily, and somebody will clip that out and make me sound like a huge asshole. But like, they do really like her. Like, it seems like Bellator wants her to be the future, because she's like young, she's Russian, you know, like, people find her attractive. Like, that's the trifecta, right, of what could be marketed with Bellator, because they do like marketing to the Russian crowd too. In I think there's definitely potential there, and the way they're bringing her up is right. I just think, like, at a certain point, you either get to somebody who's going to beat you and give you that prospect loss, or they move you up so slow. So I think this is just the she biting off more than she can chew step.
All right. We shall see. We're going to jump right up to the co-main event. We got two title fights topping off this Bellator card. So it's a stellar card, obviously. Bellator MMA middleweight championship, Johnny Eblin versus Anatoly Tokov. 5 rounds, 5 minutes. Each round for the 185-pound crown, aka middleweight. We'll tell you about the challenger first. Tokov, 31-2, 17 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out one time, the only time he's been stopped in 33 fights. 7-0 in Bellator. He won his last fight via TKO. He was a regional champion. Used to fight at heavyweight and light heavyweight. 2009 was his pro MMA debut. He's at plus 135. Eblin, the human cheat code is the nickname. He's also 12, not also. I was going to say they're both undefeated, but no, Tokov is not. Eblin is. He's 12-0, 5 knockouts, 1 submission, 8-0 in Bellator and their champion. This is his first defense of the title. He beat Gegard Mousasi for the belt last fight. He's a year younger than Tokov, 4 inches taller, inch of reach on him, minus 155.
I'm gonna go Johnny Eblin here. I think Johnny Eblin. I really believe in this dude's wrestling. You don't go out and do what you did to Gegard Mousasi, because I mean he's coming off of a win over Gegard Mousasi. Like that should be enough to tell you that I have real faith in him as a champ. You don't do that to Gegard Mousasi without having incredible wrestling game. And in addition to that. And I know this name doesn't hold as much weight, but like he did a similar thing to John Salter. And it's not easy to do that to John Salter. John Salter, really sharp on the ground, really good jiu-jitsu, had pretty much only been outclassed on the ground by Gegard Mousasi, had easily taken down and submitted Chidi Njikiwani and like turn it around and Johnny Eblin tools him on the ground. So like he's just got the ground game that I think is good enough. And if you look at Anatoly Tokov too, like his, that last loss, like you said, it's been a while since he's lost, but the loss was an M1 to Ramazan Amiev before they hired him. And same thing, like Amiev just like was better at wrestling. And since then he's not really fought anybody I would call a wrestler. You know, I guess maybe Gerald Harris wrestles a little bit. And he caught him in a choke on the way in, but like, a couple of his wins in Bellator are just like reacting to takedowns and hitting guillotines or hitting front chokes or something like that. If that's a real game plan, like you're just going to wind up on your ass against Johnny Eblin. And I also just think Eblin here has a huge cardio advantage. This is a guy who wrestled at the University of Minnesota or Missouri. He wrestled at the University of Missouri, high level wrestling program. He has that crazy D1 college cardio. I just don't think that Tokov is going to be able to keep up with Eblin. And the thing about Eblin, too, he fights really safe. It might not be the most exciting thing to watch from time to time, but he fights in a way where he's going to make sure you don't submit him. So, yeah, I like Johnny Eblin here.
Will the main event be exciting? We shall see. It'll be sloppy. It'll
probably
the
main event?
Yeah, we're moving to the main event. You said exciting, so I'm transitioning with an exciting, perhaps an exciting main event, a sloppy main event, probably exciting. It's for the Bellator MMA Heavyweight Championship of the World. Ryan Bader versus Fedor Emelianenko. I will tell you about Emelianenko first. The Last Emperor, 40-6 with one no contest. 16 knockouts, 15 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times, submitted once, so he's been finishing all of his losses. 4-2 in Bellator. However, he's won 2 straight fights, both via knockout or TKO. He has not fought since October 2021, so it's been quite a layoff again. He is not lost a fight since January 2019. That helps when you sit out for a few years. That loss was a TKO loss to Ryan Bader. Yep, the man who he is fighting right now or on Saturday. He went 1-3 in Strikeforce, 14-0-1 in Pride, and was their champion. 2000 was his pro MMA debut. He also is a Samba champion, which is something totally different.
Never seen him do Samba.
Yeah,
but I've seen him do Sambo. Yeah.
Yes, he's a Sambo champion and a Judo champion, and he's at plus 200 if you're interested in that. His numbers come way down, by the way. It was like double that when I did this last night. Darth Bader, the champion, 30-7 with one no contest, 12 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times, submitted twice, 8-2 with one no contest in Bellator. He is their current champion. He's successfully defended the heavyweight crown two times. This will be his third defense of it. He also used to be the lightweight champ at light heavyweight. Lightweight, that would be quite a feat. Light heavyweight champion. So he was the at the same time. So he was the double champ in Bellator. Basically, predominantly the starting of his career was at light heavyweight, but now he's now that he lost that belt, he's a heavyweight. He's won two straight fights, three of his last four. He went 15-5 in the UFC. He also went 3-0 in the Ultimate Fighter and was the champion of the season he was on. He's been pro MMA fighting, pro UFC since 2007. That was his pro MMA debut. He was a wrestling champ in college, 7 years younger than Emelianenko, 2 inches taller, minus 250.
Yeah, I know the number's big, but I'm still going to take Ryan Bader here. If you go back and you look at Fedor's, we can run his record all the way back to, let's give him 7 years. In the last 7 years, he's 5-2. And the wins come over Tim Johnson, washed up heavyweight from the UFC. Quentin Jackson, washed up former light heavyweight, current big fat guy from the UFC. Chael Sonnen, Frank Mir, and Fabio Maldonado. So, like, he has only fought and lost to washed out UFC dudes, beat washed out UFC dudes, and he's lost to Matt Mitrione and Ryan Bader. So, like, in the last 7 years, he's only fought, like, UFC vets who are past this prime, and he's still only 5-2 in those seven. And, like, I would say this, if you're looking for an angle to bet this fight, first of all, get some money on Ryan Bader. That's probably the safest play. And then hedge your bet with a first round Fedor Emelianenko knockout. I have no idea, you know, what books have props on it and what those props will look like. But like, if you can find a first round knockout prop for Fedor, that's the only way he's winning this fight. Because, you know, while he back in the day was the type of guy who could get beat up for all that time and then surprise you with an armbar late or surprise you with a late finish. Or, you know, I got sadly, the thing that sticks in my head is that Andre Arlovsky fight. Although I think that one was only one round too. He got like the snot kicked out of him. He's not going to win outside the first round. As this fight goes on, Bader's just going to have more and more success with the takedown. So take Bader as your pick and then just like hedge yourself here with a Fedor first round knockout. That's if you want to, you know, like sort of cover yourself because like, I don't know. I think the reason Fedor's number keeps coming down is people want to believe that he's got one more left in the tank and it'd kind of be beautiful if he did, but I don't know. I just don't see him hitting and knocking out Bader, you know, because Bader knows that's what he's got. He's got that one punch. And apart from that, he doesn't have anything else left at this stage in his career. He doesn't have the takedown defense. He doesn't seem to have submissions even really anymore on his side. So yeah, give me Bader here and, maybe wait for that number to come down more, too.
All right, there you go. So Bader is not a washed out former UFC guy like all the other people that Fedor beat.
I mean, he's still occasionally winning, is he not?
Yes, so is Fedor, though. But yeah, this is interesting matchup to say the least. All right, so we got Gumby's got Bader, Eblen. So he has both champs retaining their titles. Lara as the even money dog as we're recording this. Neil as a little more than even money dog. And Izayev as a favorite. Correct?
That sounds good to me.
All right. So that is once again Bellator in your ear holes. We'll be back. UFC is back this week. So we will be back with UFC episodes on Wednesday and Thursday. Prelims Wednesday, main card on Thursday. Until then, make sure you get in the Discord and chat with us and everyone else in there. No matter what you want to talk about, there's a channel in there for you. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Discord. You can get us on Twitter, SGPNMMA. Gumby runs that account for us. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He's got a podcast called the Top Turtle MMA Podcast. You should listen to. You're required to listen to every week, where he interviews fighters and makes picks and all that fun stuff. You're also required to subscribe and read to my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. And you must also go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com, make it your homepage, and read everything that goes onto the site there. Right?
That sounds good to me. Yeah, do all of those things.
Do all of those things. You are, I command you, and Gumby will bid you farewell now.
I'm David Gumby Vreeland. He's the last emperor, Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Wednesday.